Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How are you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So if you want to join us tonight, call in at 516-387-1549. And listen in and join the call.
The truth be all up on ya. It spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Here to build a nation, call it black power. Raining knowledge down like a black shower. Standing tall for the people like a black tower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system shaking, cause they be facing us. We showing world love, cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it. Yo, best believe we win it. Cause we always speak the truth, no matter who offended. Cause they been lying to us, and they mistreating us. Police be beating us, I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on ya. It spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream. Power corner.
We are gonna always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles. We are not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots black media platforms and our sisters and brothers that continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republic of New Africa, Madam President Salma, my Vice President Mama Aya, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage each of you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com to find out more and how to support and donate to the nation. Free the land.
Ashe, ashe. Welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How you all doing tonight? We have a very special show. You know, great, another great show scheduled for you tonight. Thank you all for joining us. I want to thank you all for always, for all the love and support, always. We are building a new broadcast association, New African Broadcast Association. Check us out. We have other shows on our platform. I will be telling you more about them later on in the show. So we're going to go ahead and get right on into the show today because we have a very special guest today. And we're going to go on and open up his line and welcome our Baba on into the show today. Today we have one of our unapologetic Babas, Baba Kwaku. So we're going to let you come on in, Baba, and you introduce yourself to us and come on in. How y'all doing tonight?
Free the land,
Baba.
Kwaku Shaka Shingo. Actually, Kwaku Shaka Shango Shingo. Formerly the Christianized Negro nigger slave, Raul Duane White. Free land.
All right, free I'm land.
I'm not a big speaker. I'm more guided to questions and through the questioning, I could find my voice, but just talking off the top of the head, I'm not good at that. And I apologize to y'all.
That's all right, Bobby. That's all right. We're going to get it together. You just introduce yourself to us. Tell us what your name means and tell us a little bit about yourself. Can you give us a little of your story, a little of your background? What made you the unapologetic man that you are today?
Okay. Kweku means born on Wednesday. And my spoken word name is Shaka Shango. And Shingo means net. And this is in Kiswahili. And born on Wednesday, I was born on Wednesday. And Shaka is for Shaka Zulu, and Shango is God of Thunder and War. And Shingo, Nick, I don't like to be in the forefront. I'm a person behind the scenes getting what needs to be done. You know, I would prefer somebody else be doing this broadcast. But my elders trusted me to accomplish this and referred me. So, you know, I said, I will follow my chosen leaders. That's what I live by. I will follow my chosen leaders and help them. There's better qualified speakers, but I yield to what my elders tell me to do.
I say, most definitely. So give us a little of your background.
I was born in Kankakee, Illinois. I was born in Clifton, Illinois. And my mother decided to go to Clifton because she didn't want, and that's in the adjoining county. She didn't want any visitors. So she went there, and that's where I was born. But I was raised in Kankakee till about 10 years, and then we traveled around, and we ended up in Mississippi when I was 16. Graduated from Franklin County High School here. Went to the Navy because I was an American. And went to the Navy to serve my country. And once I got in, you know, in their military science, they tell you some things, you know. And at the time I joined, we were supposedly in a Cold War with Russia. But one of our trainers messed up when he said that, well, two things. The first one, he said that we send $1 billion worth of grain to Russia every year. And I said, you mean the enemy that we supposed to fight, we also feed? I said, yeah. So I was basically through then. And that was in boot. And then when I got out, I became a medic and in the Navy. And the Marine Corps don't have their medics. The Navy supply them because the Marine Corps is a sub-branch of the Navy. And they told me that the specialty I was in, that if I was on a medevac, my life expectancy was 1.5 seconds. And if I was on the field, we're supposed to wear a white cross, a helmet, and under the Geneva Convention that, you know, in war, that white cross is not to be shot. But they told us that's going to be the first thing the enemy shoots. So I was through with the Navy then. I didn't want to go to college. I felt I just barely got out of high school. I had a problem with authority. I don't know what made me. Well, I do know what made me. My mother said if I was going to live in her house, I had to go to school. And I told her I wasn't going to live in her house, so I joined the Navy. That's why when my elders tell me something today, I yield to it because I have to realize my thinking is not always correct.
I say, most definitely. I got you.
I grew up in a town called Joliet, Illinois. And when we first moved there, we moved in the ghetto. It was the ghetto. It was ghetto, you know, anything you saw on TV, we had, you know, we had the drug addicts, we had the alcoholics, you know, the the urine and broken glass all around. And we moved to another part of town, which was the white side of town. So we went from going to black schools to white schools, getting chased to and from school every day. And I think that's where the fight started, because I found myself, you know, the very kids I played baseball with or football with in gym or took classes with, we was in study groups together and all that, when they got around their parents and their parents was caught nigger go home, they were joining in. So I would always get kicked out of school for fighting. And I think that's when that fight was born. After that, you know, you start seeing the inequality. You know, I'm a kid just like this kid. They tried to put me in special ed. Well, they did put me in special ed. But they had to get permission from my mom. And she gave them permission to give me some psychological tests. And they were trying to put me in special ed because I had all D's and F's. And when the test came back, they found that I was gifted. So the attitude toward me at the school now changed. And I was placed in special ed, and I was placed, there was only one other child in the school in special ed with me in the gifted program. And he was a year younger than me, a little white guy, a little American that was a year under me. And he was way smarter than me, but a lot of our classes, we would be the only ones in our class. And I enjoyed that. I enjoyed being in a classroom by myself, being able to study and get stuff done and not be distracted by what others do in the classrooms or the disruption. So I learned to work by myself. I'm learning now to work with others. I'm learning now how to build with others. And I'm learning now that fighting is easier when you have like-minded people who are joined into that fight. So my fight, what I'm unapologetic about is I'm a new African. I'm proud to be that. We've been told who we were. You know, and this is part of my name is part of my self-determination. My quest is self-determination for my people, for us to be liberated, for us to be free enough to choose and make our own institutions. You know, we built two institutions with NAIAI and our alliance, ANAEDA. And I could talk about those all day. We built institutions from the ground up. It took over 24 years. It took longer than that. Before that, when we came up with the concept, we was meeting in back rooms 4 o'clock in the morning, discussing whether or not and making strategies of how to get this accomplished. And we got it done. Now we have eight. You know, we have eight investment associations, all independently ran. And then we have our nonprofit, which is the think tank for our investment association.
I say. Okay. And this is what I want you to do for me. I want, with you being a conscious working citizen, right?
Yes.
And I know you were formerly part of the government of the PGRNA, right? So I want you to tell us, when did you pledge, you know, your citizenship, and what do you believe are the responsibilities of a new African conscious working citizen? Even though you're not working with the government still, you still are a new African, you know. So I want to know, what are your thoughts on you know, being a conscious working citizen and with your former affiliation with the PGRNA and things like that?
You know, our I'm born into this nation. You know, so, but I didn't know anything of the nation. And all our citizens are born into it. And you are a citizen of the Republic of New Africa. Or you are a New African until you make a choice and verbalize your choice not to be. Again, I never chose to be an Afro-American. I was just told I was. I didn't choose to be colored, nigger, Negro, or African-American. What I am is an African in America. I understand that a tree is known by its roots. And studying zoos. When I go to the zoo in Chicago, when we used to go to the zoo, an African elephant could have a calf over here in America, and it's still an African elephant. And I always wondered why that didn't apply to us. We're told we came from Africa, but why did it change once we get over here? And that's because we weren't naming ourselves. Somebody else is nameless. And even, you know, the word Africa is controversial as far as its origin, you know. But to start understanding it, and those of you just stepping down in this rabbit hole, it gets deeper and deeper. And so you're going to have to be committed to truth. And truth is not always palatable, but you have to deal with it. I tell people I love the joys and the pain of truth because now I can make an informed decision.
Ashe. Joys and pains of truth. I can get with it because I have to live my truth, and it's something that's hard for a lot of us to do. And like one of the things that we having a whole lot of issues with now is this traditional New African family, right? I see that you are a family man with your beautiful queen, Miss Maxine, and you have 6 children and 7 grandchildren. So I want you to tell us the importance of the traditional New African family and how you and your queen were able to withstand this and make it 27 years?
You know, as far as the marriage, there's been ups and downs, you know, and it's because I was disillusioned to what marriage was. You know, I believed in the patriarchal rulership of the house and things like that, and I've learned over the years. But what really straightened me out was I had an elder named Baba Hannibal Afrika, and I was complaining about what I wasn't doing because my wife wasn't on board with this and wasn't on board with that. He said, Raul, you're just wasting your voice complaining. Whatever you're going to do, you do it if that's your conviction. She'll either get on board or she continue to be off. But you can't use her as an excuse for your inaction. And so I had to move on. I had to move on because I wanted my family to be New Africans. Now, my kids didn't have a choice. They were drugged to Camp Pumziko whether they wanted to go or not every year. They went every year right before they didn't want to go and start crying. And I just let them cry and all that stuff. And when you get through crying, I told you to pack your sleeping bag and your clothes so we can inspect and make sure you got everything for camp. They would get their mother involved, and I'd politely tell her, hon, I didn't ask them did they want to go. That's the first thing. I told them to pack their stuff and get ready.
Oh,
and that's what I wanted to do. And I I expect you to support what I'm telling you. Because if you let kids know there's a division in the family, they will work that division. Okay. If the parents are not unified, then the kids will cause a whole lot of division. You know, there are times when they ask me something, my answer is no. And they didn't tell her that I said no, and they end up doing something that I told them not to. And then so, but when they ask me, I ask, did you ask your mom first? And they'll say yes. I said, what did she say? No. Then why are you asking me? So, it's, you know, until we got on one accord, and again, a marriage is work. If you're not prepared to get put the work into a marriage, don't get married. If you like independence, don't get married. If you like being by yourself, don't get married. You're wasting your time, and you're wasting somebody else's.
Exactly. So my thing with, and you mentioned Camp Punzico, right, with the new African Scouts. I see that you are an intricate part of that organization, you know, that organization. Tell us a little bit about your history with the new African Scouts and how you got involved with them in Camp Punzico.
Again, I will follow my chosen leader. And to help them, and our leader said, we're sending the kids to Camp Punzico. And my leaders at that time was Baba Hannibal Freak, who was our training elder. And he was the training elder of our scout program. Dimitri was the administrator. We've had Baba Sirshab Hatir. He was affiliated with us. Brother Lucada was affiliated with it. I had a lot of great elders. I cannot take any accolades. I had great elders.
Yes.
I had great elders who I'm just a nobody nurse, country nurse, and they took me on a whole nother level. On a national level. They opened my eyes to a whole lot of things. They guided me through the trials, you know, because, you know, do I want to put the energy in it? That's what I kept asking myself. Do I want to put the energy in this? And the truth is, I didn't. But what other damn choice do you have? When you sit there and watch your kids getting shot down on TV, when you see kids taken from their mother and separated, fathers ran off from the home in order for people, what choice do we have?
Shay.
If we're talking about surviving, then we got to go with better tactics than we used in the past because nothing has changed.
Exactly. So tell us about
I went to camp. I started in, I think, 2000, Dimitri, Brother Lumumba was going to be the camp doctor, and he brought me there to be as one of the camp nurses. But we didn't have a lot of things going on in the nursing place, so I like learning. It was my first time there, and I wanted to attend every class that kids attended. I wanted to see what these kids knew, and these kids who grew up in the movement knew way more than I ever.
Yeah.
And I was fascinated sitting in classes or sitting in discussions, you know, or just being around listening to their conversations. And this was kids 6 years old to 17. And like I was learning probably more. The camp experience was for them, but I went every year because I enjoyed it. And then you get to see what nation building looks like. The regret was this wasn't every day. You know, every day we should be in, our kids should be in that type of environment. learning who they are, confident in who they are, knowing what's expected of them as far as this nation, you know, knowing to strive for excellence, knowing that they are great and don't have to be told that. I mean, these kids are just so self-confident and self-reliant and then obedient. Where do you see kids who respect elders?
So my thing is,
so,
like,
while we're talking about Camp Punzico, our organization wants to send kids to Camp Punzico, and we're going to have an endowment. This is through our alliance, and we're also asking our investment associations who have funds to donate, and we would like to send 10 kids. I don't know what the process that we'll be using, but we have to get the process down on how to apply before July, because that's what Camp Punzico is. So anybody who wants to go or have kids, probably be open to our members first and then to everybody. We just want the kids to have this experience.
I say. We thank y'all for that, because that'll be a great experience for our children. And, you know, beginning that new African nation building, because if they don't start it at home, and if they don't go to places like Camp Punzico, they build it for another nation. Can you talk a little bit about the alliance and the investment association for us? I heard you mention it a couple of times, and like I said, once I joined, it was it's something that's opening my eyes up to a lot of things. I'm learning about, you know, finding and different things like that, because there's something that I did not, you know, was not taught when I was growing up. So now I don't know how to save money and different things and budget and different things like that, right? But when I joined this association, it's teaching me different things about, you know, financial things that I never knew about. And I'm able to, you know, teach that to my children now. So can you tell us about, you know, when y'all started and, you know, the aims and the goals of the association and the alliance?
The first investment association, I think, started around 2000, I'm sorry. That's located in Claiborne County in Mississippi. And all our investment associations started off with the share price at $100. So Claiborne County started off, and we finally got the ideas that we had in those little back rooms together, and we presented it, and we had a little town hall meeting of people that we knew and family and friends, and invited them to come, and told them what our plans was, and people wanted to join. It got started because we had two sisters that was business owners and who had business, needed a small loan. We have two American banks here. Now, Claiborne County is the third largest population of blacks per capita in the United States. And so, you know, they went to a bank. They could get loans. They were offered loans for a car, loans for houses, but no loans to start a business. And so that's how the idea came up. Who helped develop the idea is Brother Hakeem Ahana, who was part of the RNA 11, and Brother Watani, who is part of NAPO in Atlanta. And so the idea and the concept was something that they drew up on paper. It was presented to us. We started working on it. At the time, we were officers in the PGRNA, and that didn't go so well. That didn't go so well because we had people who were satisfied with saying free the land, but didn't want to do no work to free the land. And also we had elders who was probably too tired to do any work to free the land because a lot of the elders had been in exile and all this other stuff. So we didn't get anywhere. They started picking apart the cabinet. We go by consensus. So we would lose 7-6 or stuff like that. And what we were, the differences in is we're in the South. We were in the South. We were amongst the people. And this where theory and practice, our political science, has to come in effect. The theory of what to do in the South and the practice, we were down doing the practice to see if the theory was correct. And one of the theories is you come down and come amongst the people and you raise your leaders up from amongst them. You don't come down here telling the people what they need to do. You come down as a servant. And the best example of that is the winning of the mayorship in Jackson, Mississippi by Brother Chokwe Lumumba, our beloved elder, and his son winning after him. Come down, serve the people, and then they will put and change the mindset of the people by service. So our elders, we left and we just started working in the New African Independence Movement. And we just wanted to focus on one aspect, and that was the finance, because nothing can happen without finance. Up until we have the money to build our institution, everything is still theory. We're putting the theory into practice, and we're constantly analyzing it. That's theory, practice, and analysis. For you who don't know, that's New African political science. So our science is exact. What don't work in practice, we discard it or revise it. And that's what we've done with our investment. So our investment associate, I read the purpose statement of NAIAI, which states that we are the descendants of the people of different African nations who were kidnapped and brought to North America against their will. Time, our particular history and unique gene pool brought about by our experiences in North America has forged a new nation of people. We are similar and yet distinct from our ancestors. New Africans as a nation of people in North America have continuously sought freedom. We define freedom generally as the ability of a people to control their own lives. Self-determination is another way of describing this ability. In our pursuit of self-determination, we of the New African Investment Association Incorporated have come together to build a collective financial institution that will assist the ongoing movement of our people to be self-determining. The purpose of the NAIAI is to build a collective financial institution that is beneficial to the New African nation and profitable for the members of the NAIAI. We plan to achieve our financial goals by investing the assets of the association in stocks, bonds, business opportunities, and other investments as determined by the members. While our focus is financial, we understand that self-determination cannot be achieved solely by financial endeavors. We will continually strive to educate our nation, our association, and ourselves in all worthwhile matters pertinent to the improvement of the New African people and our continuing pursuit of freedom. Now, when we first started, we had our members had a problem with the purpose statement. They thought it was too radical. They thought it was, and they wanted to soften it up. But up until the name, thing was in agreement. We talked about, you know, we don't know about building. You know, that's something that we've been locked out of, and you know, they don't teach us nothing about. They don't teach you nothing about an entrepreneur. They teach you how to be a wage slave.
Exactly.
The higher you go into their institution, that's the more money you can make being a slave. You just get a higher percentage of, you know, a higher pay, a wage. But you're a slave. They don't teach entrepreneurship. And so that's what we're encouraging. We're trying to be the financial institution in the community where we are already the majority. So we can run out the predator payday loans and the predator banks out of our community.
My shame.
Who end up owning everything in our community.
Exactly. Exactly. So with
and
the
so,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And so our focus is we have contiguous counties in Mississippi on both sides of the from Arkansas to Baton Rouge, almost to New Orleans. New Orleans is also one of those, but it's not part of the contiguous. It's two counties before that, New Orleans. This is where we are the majority. This is where we are the majority. If we're ever to have economic power, if we're ever to have political power, then we have to organize this area where we are already the majority. And that's where our focus is being. Educating, administrating, and trying to build wealth that bridges generations. Now, that's what the nonprofit is for. And I'll read the mission statement for that one. The Alliance of New African Economic Development Association mission statement. The mission of the Alliance is to support the ongoing efforts of the New African nation to be self-determining by assisting locations of the New African Investment Association Incorporated, particularly in the Lumumba Territory, and by promoting the purpose of the NAIAI as stated in the NAIAI purpose statement. The priority divisions of work for the Alliance are: 1, education, to assist NAIAI locations on educational issues. Alliance would promote economic and financial education, particularly as related to understanding global social political systems and their effect on an economy, using traditional and non-traditional educational methods. Promote collective investing and personal finance education, using New African political science as related to economic development and financial management, as amplified in portions of the New African Creed. Also to build a youth educational component. 2, administration, to assist NAIA locations on administrative issues. Alliance would make suggestions concerning management, bookkeeping, and security issues, making suggestions and recommendations concerning policies and procedures, class, cash flow management systems, taxes and safety issues, etc. Alliance would also review the bylaws and make recommendations related to the U.S. government regulations. Alliance would help facilitate projects and communications between New African NAIAI locations. And 3, collective wealth that bridges generations. To assist NAIAI locations on collective wealth that bridges generations, the Alliance will promote and make recommendations related to the concept of carrying collective wealth from one generation to another and fashioning systems that support this concept. This would include the Alliance acting or creating a collective trust endowment for New African Investment Association Incorporated location.
I say.
So everything we are trying to build goes along with everything that we study or that we participate in, the Nguzo Saba. Our economics is Ujamaa economics. That's cooperative economics. And we also use Ijima, collective workings responsibility. In our investment associations, no matter how much money you put in, you have one vote. That's something that you don't find in the financial world. Usually, however much money you have is how much votes you have. So you can do hostile takeovers if you get a good alliance. But, you know, there's no alliance with a hostile takeovers with this. Everybody's vote, no matter if you put in a $25 or $100,000, you have one vote. All of us are on the same playing field. And that's what's unique about our investment association. Again, all of them are independently incorporated. The only thing that binds us all together is our bylaws.
So could you tell us a little bit about how somebody could join the the alliance or the association first, and then they can, you know, move up to the alliance if they wanted to join. How would they, you know, go about doing it, New Africans specifically?
To join an association, all you have to do is get with somebody in an association. In the Memphis area, it would be the Ida B. Wells. And in any other area, and also to start one. If you're interested in starting one in your prospective location, get with the sisters and the brothers of this broadcast, and they can refer you to the who can help you in that if it's another county. But if it's in Memphis, they're the ones you need to talk to. So at the end of the radio program, if y'all would, get them y'all information. What's unique about our association also is we have Republicans, we have Democrats, we have Independents, we have Muslims, we have Christians, we have atheists, but all of us understand our station, where we at politically, socially, economically. We understand that we're at the bottom. And see, so that division tactic that they use in mainstream politics, we're not trying to have that. We may have different political views, or political affiliations, religious affiliations, educational affiliations, but we are all on point on where we stand in the United States. So we all on point on knowing that we have to make the change. Ain't nobody gonna do it. They had 400 years. If they were gonna do it, they had 400 years.
Exactly.
And some of us are not willing to wait another 400 years for them to have morality or to receive equality. You know, I'm not even for that anymore.
Thank you.
I'm on separatism and self-determination. Exactly. Nations deal with nations. Nations don't have to do nothing for individuals. You have to understand international law. Nation deal with nation. until we declare ourselves as a nation and what nation we are. As long as we splintered, we the Hebrew Israelite nation, we the Christian nation, we this nation. As long as we divided like that, they can do whatever they want to. But until we become a nation under what our New African Creed says, that's the process.
Exactly.
Once we declare, we have to stand ready to defend ourselves, to establish the nation. That's how every nation that comes into existence happens. They're not going to give you freedom.
Exactly.
They call themselves giving you freedom in with the 13th Amendment. And then they made black codes and everything else to lock you up to get free slave labor. So, I mean, we could keep trusting their word, or we can do something about our own problem because it's our problem.
Exactly. I say, I totally agree with you on that, Bob. And I've heard you speak about political science, right? I want you to talk about how do you think I'm learning now, right? Because I was not politically educated here recently, but I have been, you know, going to, you know, study groups and different things like that. And I think that it's very important that as a new African in this hellhole, we should know New African political science, because I didn't think it was necessary at first, right? So what are your thoughts on us as New Africans being politicized, on the New African political science? Because we have to learn about our nation and what we need to do. So what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, my thoughts is this. You being politicized whether you know it or not. You being taught. You got politics that keeps you as the underdog. You got economic systems that keep you as an underdog. And our people have gotten complacent and accepted this. We've accepted this. We have allowed them to force this upon us, and now we're willfully accepting it. So what you're being political, you go to school, as long as you go in their school system, you're being politicized. You're being indoctrinated. You're being taught that they made all the great contributions in the world, and they just left out that you was here millions of years before them. So everything started in the 1500s. You know, and you got one group who I don't want to say their name, but they're not who they say they are. I will say they're not the chosen people. You got one group, sister, that owns the banking system, that owns Hollywood, and that got the patent and the permission to print all the educational books in all our school systems. So that's why you don't learn about you and your contribution. That's why our kids don't want to go to school, because they learn nothing about themselves except being slaves. Your inception started in slavery, and we're way greater than that. So what other political science should we learn if we're looking for better outcomes? Because their political science don't work for us.
I totally agree with you on that, Baba. I totally agree. I know we got in 2023, we got New African Nations Day coming up in March, March 31st to April the 2nd. And, you know, there's 55 years on the road to our plebiscite. So, with you being original, you know, being a part of the PGRNA at one time, what are your what would you tell us about, you know, building a plebiscite for ourselves so that we can declare ourselves a nation?
Well, Man, I get in trouble all the time. Sometimes I say the wrong thing. I am a supporter of the government, the provisional government of the Republic of New Africa. I support that concept. That's something we build. I also believe that it was started prematurely. And this is why I got in trouble, and this is why I got put out of the Treasury. They couldn't take the PCC or the PRLC, but I was out of being the Minister of Treasury. First of all, 68 years to get your butt from up north to down in the south in the land that you claim that you want to free. Then you don't have people who are down here. What we found is you have a lot of organizations saying they're doing work, but no organization was doing work as far as politicizing. They were just doing their own work independently. And we have to have a national strategy. And that's what we were trying to develop, a national strategy that we could have. And we're still... We're still committed to developing a political education format. We're working on that right now with some of our elders and political education teachers who teach at university. We're working on developing. We don't have a whole lot. We have biographies and history, but we don't have our political science written anywhere. We don't have political, when we came, was in there, we don't even have archives. Y'all don't know what we did.
Yeah.
We didn't know what was done before. So, I mean, I feel that we started. We had a good ideal in the city. But when I was in, and you know, my elders would jump up and they would quote that, you know, in 1968, we came together in Detroit and all that. I said, you know, I would love to have the names of the 500 people, Baba, but all I got is 168 names on a mailing list. Something ain't right with that picture. You didn't increase, you decreased. And so y'all have a work that's going to be hard. But we're working along with you. And all grassroots should work together. Do what you do independently, but work together collectively. If you say that you want self-determination, our numbers are better together.
I say, most definitely. Most definitely. I told it with you on me, Bob. I know that we are building our black nation. And I can say, and I salute President Samayat and Madam President, Madam Vice President Mamayo, in this administration that we have in now, they are, doing some hard work and they are changing some things because we have our national and local new African elections coming up in November 2023 too. So we are doing it and it is some hard work. I have to tell you that. So like you said, we have to do this collectively. We have to do this collectively. So I want you, I have enjoyed you tonight. You know what I'm saying? And you know you are always welcome here. We have some callers online. So I'm going to go on and open up the lines. If you have a question or a comment for Baba Kwaku, just one so that you can, come online and, you know, ask a question, comment, and, you know, when you come in, let us know who you are. Bob, I want you to get us a closing together because, like I said, we have had a good show tonight. I want you to come back so you can keep, you know, informing us about the NIAI because we need to, like you said, keep building and recruiting those numbers up. So I'm going to open up this line for you and see what this caller wants to say. This is area code 59953. Your line is open. 59953. Your line is open. You can come on in, ask a question or comment.
Real land is Baba Lucata.
How you doing,
hey,
Baba?
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Greetings, Baba. How are you, sir?
I'm good, Baba. How are you?
My spirits are lifted hearing your voice, brother. It's been a minute.
He's calling me Baba, y'all, but he's one of my elders. That he's one of my respected elders. He's calling me Baba. I appreciate that, but he's my elder.
Yes.
You know, it's a thing about respect. You know, we respect each other, and there are those who need to call you Baba, regardless of your, you know, our relationship. So out of that respect, that's why I wanted to make sure that I, you know, acknowledge your wisdom and your growth, brother.
Glad that's on.
But I heard you call. I heard you call some names, and I just wanted to go back and give praise to some of those people. And let's start with Baba Hannibal Afrique. We both know the power and the influence of that brother.
Yes, sir.
But let's just talk just for a quick second. I know. What I got from him was that the Kazi is the greatest blackness, and Palmoja Tucha Shinde were two of the phrases that I remember him shouting to us on a consistent basis.
Yes.
What do you remember about Baba Hannibal?
What I remember about Baba Hannibal, good Lord. Baba Hannibal. Baba Hannibal was an inspiration to me. Baba Hannibal was a part of some of everything. In Cobra, PGRNA, he had an institution where he, independent black schools could get the same curriculum. He just part of some. He was an elder over in Africa and had a school over there. To watch this man work, I've had the opportunity to be once he got down, his personal secretary. When we traveled, I was his bodyguard. When he gave speeches, I was his driver. After he got down in health, I was his personal nurse. But to see, even when he went down, health-wise, he still was fighting mentally and spiritually. And that's how I want to transition. I want to transition fighting for the cause that I say I believe in. And so he's just, his teaching method, His referring you to books, and you know, we had a personal study group. Hey, I want you to read this book, and we're gonna talk about it. I mean, just feeding me with knowledge and understanding that I didn't have prior. Again, I still consider myself as a baby because I just started this journey 20 some years ago, and it started off with Baba for handing me some articles and asking me questions about the articles. So it wasn't preaching or teaching. It was, first of all, the example that they lived, and then giving you information. Information helps you make better informed decisions. I remember I used to always quote the saying that knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. And I remember Baba looked up and he said, "Raul, that's incorrect." And I said, "Please explain, Baba." He said, "Knowledge is just knowing. The power is in the application."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The power is in, yes, in the doing. The power. Power is not in the knowing. We know a whole lot, bro. But the power is in the doing. So, you know, we could sit here and dream the dream and create these theories of freedom and what freedom looks like. But if we're not willing to get out there and work for freedom, and freedom ain't free, we'll never get it.
I say.
And that's what he always, you brought up Cosby. Baba is always, he said, let your style of work speak for you. You don't have to say a word. Because of your style of work, others will speak for you.
I say.
Promote the tutishinta. Together we shall win. Together. We shall win.
I say. I stand on it. All right. I love
you
it.
Know, one more elder we want to revisit, and that being of course Baba Shokwe of Lumumba. And you know, I had the pleasure of working with him on several different projects. And what I remember Shokwe always insisting is that if you don't love the people, you will betray the people. What's your memories of Shokwe Lumumba?
My memory, oh, man. To watch this man in a... my fondest memory is when he told the judge he was a Mickey Mouse judge in a kangaroo court. And got a couple of contempt of court behind that statement. But we haven't had any leaders that stand up and speak like this, who challenge the systems and injustices. And that's what I see this brother doing, challenging the injustices of the very system that he serves. That's what I saw him bring to the people. And to speak for the people who were afraid to speak for themselves. And to bring a work ethic. Again, I've watched him just be from a lawyer to an alderman to a councilman to the mayor. And it was the people. And this is the thing that I want the PG to hear. It has to start with the people, and the people will lift the government up to the power that it needs. You can't do it without the people. So what we have to do is get out and educate. Forget the agitation, the education. Educate our own first. Once we get the education, and they can make a political choice of where they want to be. So they want to continue to be on American and second-class citizens, or do you want to work toward freedom and self-determination? We all have to make choices. To love the people, to serve. There's no money, sir. For each one of you who are revolutionary, there's no money. There's no money. There's nobody coming to fund nothing you do. It's on you to create what you need to get the funding, and it's going to be, again, educating and your style of work.
Shay, I love that. I love that. All right, Baba Lukar, do you have anything else you want to add?
No, again, I just wanted to, again, let the Baba know that, you know, it was great to hear his voice, and I didn't know he had left out of Roxy. I didn't know he left out of Roxy, but still in the state, so we'll connect soon.
I'm not going to leave the Lumumba Terry, that's for sure.
All right.
I might move all over the Joker, but I'm not going to leave it.
Yes, sir. Right. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for sharing what you shared with us tonight. We certainly appreciate it.
Thank you, Baba.
Thank you for joining us, Baba. Always. Thank you. Ashay. If we have any other callers that want to ask a question or comment, please press 1 so that I can bring you on the line. We have been doing a great, great, great job. I have another caller for you, Baba. Hold on just a second. All right, caller, area code 312-342. Your line is open. Come on in, introduce yourself, and then if you have a question or comment, go ahead.
Yabo, free to land.
Free to land. How you doing?
Yabo, my apologies. This is MZ Nubian Malik from Chicago. Brother Taimba Bakir informed me about this, and I'm really glad that I called in. The brother Raul that was just speaking, is that the brother that was down on the land with Baba Hannibal?
Yabo, brother.
Yo, okay. I hope he's still listening. Brother, this is Baba Nubian. I used to come down there and do the emergency training.
And brother, we need to discuss redoing that.
Yes,
we need to discuss doing that. Nubian, man, bro, I missed you, bro.
Man, you know, as you were talking, I said, he said, Raul, okay. I said, okay, you know, we know there's 100 Rauls and everything else, right? And when you start talking about you was there with Baba Hannibal, and you was, oh, wait, that got to be the Rauls. So, man, it's good to hear your voice, brother. It's good to know that you're still in the trenches. And look, I'm not going to hold this phone conversation up for you and I connecting and building, but three very quick things. One, Baba Hannibal used to always quote Marlana Karinga when you was talking about work, and he used to always stress that Kazi is the blackest of all. And so when you want to talk about how black you are, all we should really have to do is look at your work, and your work should speak for itself. The second thing that Baba Hannibal used to stress was that if you are serious and love the people today, you'll be around tomorrow. You know what I'm saying? And tomorrow is 30, 40, 50 years from now. Gaino Brooks from the All African People Revolutionary Party that was here in Chicago, Gaino was, he said that Baba Hannibal is the type of brother that would literally work, you know, die working on his feet. And that's exactly what MJ ended up doing, you know, working, like you were saying, while he was in the bed, you know, still getting the Kazi done. Yep. And so that's a profound model, as someone was talking about, let me do the work of that nature. The other thing that he said, just very quick, is always do this work and be about character. You know what I'm saying? Do this work in truth and do this work and be in character and doing it. And don't ever think that you are above criticism and accountability, you know, and that if we can keep and maintain that in this struggle, in the forefront of this struggle, I think we're going to be okay. My question for the presenter, is this, is that Ezra Aharon First of all, allow me to say that I'm a conscious citizen of the Republic of New Africa and have been for 30-plus years at this point, and again, inactive, right? But fully support the concept, fully support the ideal, fully support the work. In that, Ezra Aharon, he's a professor out of Delaware somewhere, I'm not quite sure, but he wrote several books. One of them is called From Civil Rights to Sovereign Rights. And in his book, he raised the question that is a plebiscite a viable option, because the number that we're looking for via a plebiscite, we don't really need that type of number because there are much smaller countries that exist than that percentage of a group of people of us here, right? And so I'm wondering if that we have looked at, and when I say I guess I'm primarily talking about the Republic of New Africa, the provisional government, have A, looked at doing some work around the idea that those of us that want independence and sovereignty move towards that way with the absence of a plebiscite. Now, I understand how the plebiscite work and how you're able to use it, but could not we organize around that without that type of vote?
So who you asking that question to, me or Bob?
I'm asking it to the presenter or whoever really want to take it, because I guess inside that question, I'm putting it out there as a solution, as a possible viable solution. But I was trying to get it entertained as a question.
Okay. Do you want to answer that question, Baba? Because I don't really just have an answer for that right now, because I'm learning about the plebiscite myself. So my thing is, when we working with the PGRNA, that is our goal and aim. So, Baba, would you like to answer that question?
Yes. You know, we say we believe in the Malcolm X doctrine. It says that we must organize upon this land and hold a plebiscite to tell the world by vote that we are free and our land independent. And then after the vote, we must stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing
beyond
the nation.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
We have to stand ready now to defend ourselves in the absence of the plebiscite. So I don't see where we have to wait for it. You know, there's work that we have to do to even get to that point. But, you know, we have to move forward. And a lot of times we're going to have to move forward without the masses. And we have to move forward toward that. So, yes, I believe that we have to move outside of the plebiscite. That is the goal according to our New African Creed. But we have to do the work to get to that point. And we should be looking at the work. And if we can get there without a plebiscite, that's good also. But the thing is, we have to codify our education, our educating one another. Again, it's been 1968. And if you say anything about the PGRNA, I was 40 years old. And when Doc gave me an article on Brother Robert Williams, and that's where our discussion started, you know, around that. No, I didn't know about the Deacons of Defense and I'll Shoot Back and him being the first president of the PGRNA. And all this information, you know, I was like, man, there's an article, so I know it was written somewhere. How come I love to read. How come I didn't have this information? Why didn't I not know about this information? All this stuff that they're teaching me, why didn't I know? And that's because nobody's teaching me. And again, the only way we're going to get our people to understand is we have to be, you know, before we couldn't say a whole lot because of security reasons. Our people got put in exile. You know, some of them are just now getting out of prison for this belief, all this stuff, you know. And they slowed it down, but it came back. It came back. It resurrected itself. And now it's taking on a different, people are more wanting to hear about this. People are starting to understand. You know, for me, I thought if any time for us to be free should have been the 60s.
Exactly.
But it didn't happen.
Exactly.
That's when we had everybody on one accord. What happened? COINTELPRO. They going to send these agents after us again whenever we start organizing. So we already had an agent in our investment association. You know, they're going to send these people. Send them. You can send them. We're ready. We ain't talking about no violence and all this stuff. We do believe in self-defense. You know, what one person told me, we want to kill all white folks. My concern ain't white folks. My concern is black people.
Shay, thank you.
They only have the power that we give to them.
Exactly, Bob. Exactly.
To answer Brother Nubia's question, yes. Yes, we can do this. We can work on it outside the clever side. If we can get to the clever side, fine. We still have to do the work.
Shay.
You have to work as if you're at the clever side. Our thing is we get to the top of the mountain and then we think we made it.
Mm-mm, gotta get to those.
No
guys.
More resistance and fighting. This is a continual process.
I say. I totally agree. All right. Thank you, brother, for coming in. And please join us for our other shows, okay? Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you for taking
my call.
Freedom Lane.
Can you ask one of the presenters to get this information for me?
I got his number written down, Bob, and I'll send it to you. All I know is Brother Malik, so I just send it. I send you his number. I got it.
Nubian Malik.
Yep.
Okay,
yep.
Nubian Malik. Okay, I got you.
Yes.
Okay, I got your number for you, and I'll text it to you.
That's a soldier there, y'all. That's a real soldier.
All right, Ashay.
Absolutely, y'all. Stay strong.
Free the land. All right.
Free the land.
We're going to open up the next line. Area code 504-710. Your line is open. Come on in if you have a question or comment.
Who family?
Brother
Bakir.
Free the land,
Brother Bakir.
How you doing?
I'm absolutely African. Can't be much better.
I say.
Baba Raul, I've heard you. This is my third time hearing you, and but first time live. So I want to first, give my respect to you, to your work, to all that you've been doing, and show my appreciation, basically. Two things real quick. Baba Nubian touched on it, and it's a beautiful thing that the answer you gave about us, developing ourselves with or without a full plebiscite. That's something that speaks really to me, because I'm saying that all we have to do is be, period. And those that recognize who we are will recognize. Those who ignore who we are, they'll recognize too, in time. But we have to do the work. So I've been intending to reach out to you one way or another. There's a brother out in Philly, young cat, late 30s. He's about to do a documentary. He's working on a documentary entitled Hannibal, a Freak. And it's a subtitle, something about sovereignty and food security. So I really...
And what security?
Food security and sovereignty.
Okay.
All right. So I just want to get y'all connected. very, very sincere cat. I just started, you know, working with him loosely myself. I have the, you know, the privilege. I kind of hunted him down, too, because I'm appreciating the work that he's doing as well. And so that one, I just wanted to at least put that in your ear. The other thing is, personally for me, and as you spoke with Baba Nubian about reinstituting, Baba Hannibal's work, I was never privileged to, you know, get to any of the training. One of my sons, you know, did, but one of the schools that he was attending. But when Baba Hannibal left, before I was able to get to him, and I realized no one had picked up the mantle, I had determined that I would. And that's how I connected with Baba Nubian, with that intention, much of the same intention to establish, reestablish a shoelace, get back to what I call survival. Right, I call it survival, you know, and doing some of these things. So I'm also, you know, conscious citizen, newly more a working citizen nowadays. And so, you know, I don't really have a question. I just wanted to put those things at you and let you know that I'm reaching out for you and looking forward to doing a lot of beautiful work with you.
I say,
I accept, bro, anything that I can contribute to my elder man in love and respect, bro. I'm a he has a very profound. Let me tell y'all, before dealing with Baba Hannibal, I struggled in and out with drugs. And I wasn't very reliable, but I still saw the vision. You know, it's within the last 12 years that I really picked up my pace in working on this institution, that these institutions that we created. But one of the things always stuck with me is Kazi. And the only reason I know what Kazi is because of Baba Hannibal. And Kazi and the style of work that you do. I remember when we were going through our troubles in the PGRNA, and they were, I'm a nurse by profession. I'm not a bank person or accountant or economist. I know how to do nursing. And I made that known when they referred me to that, when they told me that I was doing going to do financial matters for the government. I followed the same program that Dimitri had put in place up until that's how he got recommended for the presidency. They liked the work that he was doing as far as we had people paying taxes. We had people contributing to the land fund. We had people being coming to New African Nation Day. We had one in Atlanta, one in Jackson, and we had one somewhere else. But we had people reinterested back into the government, and that required a whole lot more work. And I just don't think at that time nobody wanted to work. They were happy with just saying free to land. At that time, Baba Hannibal was the Minister of Interior. And he went around wherever we had supposedly conscious New African or grassroots. He went from California, Philadelphia, New York, Atlanta, all over to find out that nobody was teaching political education. Nobody was training the youth. Nobody had a unit. And so that's what we were trying to, everywhere you have a unit, and your unit consisted of a New African Scout, political education, and paying taxes to the government. And we had people on board with that. And so, you know, with the style of work and that Kazi, that always was in the back of my head, you're not doing what you said out of your mouth and agreed upon. You're not helping your chosen leaders who you chose. And so I had to put all that stuff back on me, not talk about what's not being done, but what ain't I doing? Because as long as we can point a finger, we'll never get nothing done. Responsibility for what we do, and that's the main thing that I've learned from Baba Hannibal. And when I say this man was spread so wide as far as the organizations that he contributed to, was part of, and we was traveling to, you know, I got to travel with him and drive him to these places and meet the Asa Hilliards and meet Conrad Wall, meet these other tanks that he was a part of. And here I am again. I'm just a nobody nurse in Mississippi. And I was raised Brother Malik in Chicago. Bobby had a school up there. This brother here, again, we did security. This brother here was part of his personal security force who came down and trained us in our security tactics that we used to protect Baba while he was down there. So, I mean, it was just so much. Baba Hannibal also had, we were trying to do sustainable community. So we started working with gardening our own food. We had a well put out there, and we had well water. We started using solar energy. And what we had found with the solar, if y'all can get this in the community, is the solar, the energy that you don't use, the electric companies will buy from you. So what we were trying to do was get his house solarized, have an agreement with the neighbor, and you let the neighbor have his excess energy. But once you get a whole community, then the community can get a check. The thing is, everybody gets the solar. Now the community gets a check from the electric company. So it was just, Baba was in all of this stuff trying to get this stuff done, and this was when he was bedbound.
I say.
That's the work. That's the style of work that all of us conscious New Africans have to have.
I say.
There can never be too much work.
I say. Thank you, Brother Bakir, for joining us tonight. Do we have any other callers that want to ask a question or comment? Baba, you go ahead and get us a closing together. I want to thank you all for joining us tonight on the New African Broadcast Association. Like I said, we have other shows. We have the Voices of New Africa on Sundays at 12:30 on Facebook Live. We have the New African Perspectives on Monday at 1 p.m. on Facebook Live. And we have Foundations of the Nation on Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Facebook Live, all of these Essential Standard Times. Please reach out. Join us. Baba, go ahead and get a closing together for us. Thank you for joining us tonight. You have given us some valuable information. I want to thank our callers and the listeners. Even though you didn't ask a question, thank you all for joining us tonight. So go ahead, Baba, give us a closing, and we're going to get on out of here. And like I said, you are always welcome. And tell your family that we say hello. Go ahead.
Thank
you, brother.
I would like to close with something that's real dear to me, and it's called the New African Creed.
All right.
I believe in the spirituality, humanity, and genius of New African people, and in our renewed pursuit of these values. I believe in the family and the community, and in the community as a family. And I will work to make this concept live. I believe in the community is more important than the individual. I believe in constant struggle for freedom to end oppression and build a better world. I believe in collective struggle and fashioning victory in concert with my brothers and sisters. I believe that the fundamental reason our oppression continues is that we as a people lack the power to control our lives. I believe that the fundamental way to gain that power and end oppression is to build a sovereign new African nation. I believe that all the land in America upon which we have lived for a long time, which we have worked and built upon, and which we have fought to stay on, is land for us to use as a people. I believe in the Malcolm X doctrine that we must organize upon this land and hold the plebiscite to tell the world by vote that we are free and our land independent. And then after the vote, we must stand ready to defend ourselves, establishing the nation beyond contradiction. Therefore, I pledge to struggle without cease until we have won sovereignty. I pledge to struggle without fail until we have built a better condition than the world has yet known. I will give my life if that is necessary. I will give my time, my mind, my strength, and my wealth because this is necessary. I will follow my chosen leaders and help them. I will love my brothers and sisters as myself. I will steal nothing from a brother or sister, cheat no brother or sister, misuse no brother or sister, inform of no brother or sister, and spread no gossip. I will keep myself clean in body, dress, and speech, knowing that I'm a light set on a hill, a true representative of what we are building. I will be patient and uplifting with the deaf, dumb, and blind, and will seek by word and deed to heal the new African family, to bring into the movement and into the community mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters left by the wayside. Not freely and of my own will, I pledge this creed for the sake of freedom for my people and a better world. On pain of disgrace and banishment, if I prove false, for I'm no longer deaf, dumb, or blind, I am by the inspiration of our ancestors and the grace of our creator, a new African. Free the land.
Free the land. Ha ha. Thank you, Baba. Much love. I'm going to send you those numbers for Brother Nubian Malik and Brother Bakir. You're always welcome back. This has been a great show. Thank you all for joining us.
Also send me the radio information so I'll know when y'all having something.
Okay, I'll do that. Okay, I'll do that.
Thank y'all for the opportunity also, for this opportunity. And I want to thank y'all for being creative enough to start something. We need our own radio programs. We need our own programmers. We need so much in our nation. And those of you who have skills, who understand what our struggle is and what our fight is, we need you. We need you working with us. I understand if you have to work with them to make a wage to pay your bills. But we also need you to do double work with us, to build something that the world is not known for us.
I say, build a nation that the world has yet known for our babies. I say, free the land. Y'all have a great night. Much love. Much love. Thank you, Baba.
Peace out, sister.
Yeah. Truth. So we can gain some power. Truth and Power Corner. Melly Queen. Fellas. Every Friday, we do it like this. Truth and Power Corner.
Yes, welcome to the Truth and Power Corner. How you all doing today? How is everybody doing? I got my brothers coming in. It's one of my favorite times of the day. So you want to join us tonight, call in at 516-387-1549. And most need to join the call.
The truth be all up on you. It spreads just like Corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner. Dropping black facts at this exact hour. Here to build a nation, call it black power. Rain the knowledge down. like a black shower. Standing tall for the people like a black shower. We take the system down and build our nation up. Ain't no replacing us, ain't no erasing us. We got the system taken, cause they be facing us. We showing world love, cause they embracing us. We fight for independence, freedom is what's intended. See, we didn't start this war, but we about to end it. Our nation, we defend it. Yo, best believe we win it. Cause we always speak the truth, no matter who offends. Cause they been lying to us, and they mistreating us. Police be beating us, I think we've seen enough. Long as we stick together, then we will never fail. Come on, let's fight for freedom and build a better world. The truth be all up on ya, it spreads just like corona. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. We spread the knowledge from Memphis, New York to California. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. We give the people what they need, truth and power corner. Free the land by any means, truth and power corner. Melly Queen is supreme truth and power corner. Yo, this is real, it's not a dream, truth and power corner.
We are gonna always continue to fight because this is our protracted fight. Salute to all of our political prisoners, POWs, elder comrades, and exiles. We are not doing enough to get them home. They are still suffering and being tortured and murdered daily. What are y'all prepared to do? Salute to all of our grassroots Black media platforms and our sisters and brothers who continue to bring us the knowledge and information to keep us connected. Thank you all for your hard work and service. Salute to Republican New Africa, Madam President Sama, Madam Vice President Mama Anya, and our officials, ministers, ministries, leaders, and citizens of our new African nation. We encourage each of you to check us out at our website at pg-rna.com to find out more and how to support and donate to the nation. Free the land.